I want to talk about sweet spot. How many know there's a sweet spot? Wow, I thought I'd get way more applause with that Dodger. Some of you are too young. You're like, I don't even know that guy. Amen. Well, I know that guy. And that was such a moment in Dodger history. And you could see he could barely walk up to the plate. He could barely run around the bases, but he hit that ball out, and that was a good day. Slider. He hit that slider out. I want to talk to you about a sweet spot. And the Holy Spirit has been talking to Tamara and I and just encouraging us to believe what others would say is unbelievable. Somebody say, believe what others say is unbelievable. And I'm gonna show you a lady that believed what others would say is unbelievable in the Bible. But it's not just a message about believing this morning. It's about a message about believing. God wants us to believe beyond what seems possible. God wants us to believe in the midst of adversity. God, you know what, wants us to, you know, notice when Gideon was called to be the leader, Gideon says to God, I'm the wrong person. Not only is my family the most Bodine-ish group around, amen, the dorkiest. You don't understand, God. I come from the dorkiest family there is. And out of all our dorky people in my family, I am the most dorky. That's what he said. Well, he didn't say dorky, but he said, I'm whatever he said. I'm the lowest of the low. My family is low, and you're picking the lowest in my family. And they have a certain amount, and God says, here's the problem with that amount, Gideon. You have too many. Oh, come on. And then he whittles it down to 10,000. And he says to him, Gideon, here's your problem. You still have too many. At that point, I think it was something crazy. You know what? Like 16-1 odds when he had 10,000. And God's like, no, that's too many. Here's what I don't want to happen. I don't want to happen that when after the thing's all done, that these 10,000 soldiers are going to say, man, did you see me kung fu that guy? That was awesome. And the credit be given to the soldier. And he knew, I've got to whittle it down. Whittles it down to 300. 300. See, that gives glory to God. And so I'm not just talking to you today about being believing God for the supernatural. I'm asking you to believe God for the supernatural, even though it seems completely impossible that what you're asking could ever happen. And I'm not just asking you to do that. I'm going to show you an example of someone who did that. Turn with me to Luke chapter, First, I want to go to James. Let's go to James first. James chapter 4, verse 8. The Bible says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. Really important thing, you double-minded. I knew this verse, and I knew it was in the New Testament, but it's amazing to verses that you know. How many know this verse? Draw close to God, and he'll draw close to you. But watch this. How many knew the Bible says when it says draw close to God and he'll draw close to you? How many know in the same verse it talked about being double-minded? How many knew that? Yeah. What I'm talking to you today is about believing what others would seem impossible. And what you have to do when you're believing this kind of stuff is you have to make sure you aren't double-minded. That you don't go back into thinking, well, I'll just do plan B. Amen? How many know plan B is not God?
No, plan B is not God.
But many times we can revert back to plan B because plan A isn't working as quickly as we thought it was going to work. Or we can even think, I'm going to go to plan B because I really don't think plan A is going to work. And I would say, stay on plan A.
Yeah, come on.
Now watch this. I want to talk to you today about drawing close to Jesus. Because these people had all kinds of, you know, here, this is deep. You know what your answer is in all your problems? Here it is. You ready? This is deep. Jesus. Jesus is your answer. Jesus was the answer for the blind man. Jesus was the answer for the lame man. Jesus was the answer for the man whose daughter was dead at home. And Jesus was the answer for the woman with the issue of blood. And every single one of them had to draw close to God. And it was when they drew close to God that they, listen to me, that they walked in the supernatural. Watch this. Jesus is here and you're here. And if you will draw close to God, God will draw close to you. And when you're able to, in the midst of adversity, in the midst of all this TV, iPad, iPod, amen. In the midst of all that, when you say, no, I'm going to focus. I do not care. I understand Jesus is the most important thing. And when you get close to Jesus, you're going to get close to your miracle. I find it so fascinating as the Holy Spirit says, well, what about that? How many know the Holy Spirit needs to lead you when you're a pastor to just not preach a good sermon? To preach a God sermon, amen? And so as God was directing me, I remembered this passage, and I looked it up, and I thought, oh my goodness, look it in the passage. The Bible says, draw close to God and draw close to you. But then at the end it says, you double-minded. And I recognize in the midst of adversity, this woman with the issue of blood, in the midst of all kinds of stuff, she had to come up and say, I don't care what anybody says, I'm getting close to Jesus.
That's right.
Does that make sense? Let's find it. Luke chapter 8, verse 43. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years. Somebody say 12 years.
12 years.
Now let me tell you what. This flow of blood made her unclean. She had no business being around people who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any. That's a very important point. Came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? And when all denied it, Peter and those with him said, Master, the multitude throng and press, and you say, who touched me? But Jesus said, someone touched me, for I perceive power going out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared to him, in the presence of all the people, with the reason she had touched him and how she had been healed. And he said to her, notice what Jesus responded to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Jesus says this over and over again as we see people who are in the midst of adversity, midst of things that get in the way. Listen to me. In the course of time, there's going to be things that will get in the way of you and Jesus. And you have to make a quality decision that nothing is going to get in the way of me and Jesus. Because when the natural will be tenacious and connect with the supernatural happens to the natural. Can somebody say amen to this? And so she says, in the midst, what got in her way? Well, the crowd got in her way. I like going, any time we go to Magic Mountain or Disneyland or a baseball game, I like going with Paul. You know why I like going with Paul? Because I can always follow Paul. True story, we were at an Angel game one time, and he was with my kids, and we got separated a little bit, and I was like, oh, I was concerned. And then I thought, oh, I can see where they are. Because he was just above. There are people all around. Listen, and she has an issue of blood. Do you know that if they had found out what was really going on in her, they, according to their law, could have taken her out of the city and stoned her? They could have done that. You know what I love about this lady? I love her tenacity. Here's what I hear God saying. I hear God saying to Tamara and I, but I hear God saying that to us, that what we have to do is there's this passiveness. There's even wrong theological teaching that God is a sovereign God. You say, Pastor, you're saying God's not sovereign? No, God is sovereign. What does sovereign mean? Sovereign just means all powerful. But I can show you example after example after example in the Word of God of people of God who have resistance. And those people, as they fight through that resistance. See, we all have a tendency to say, oh, I guess that wasn't God's will. You know, this lady could have said that. Yeah. Look, I went to this doctor and paid him a bunch of money, and he couldn't get me healed. Went to this doctor, and he couldn't. Went to that doctor, and he couldn't. 12 years worth of going to doctors, and she didn't get better. She got any worse. How many know? And there's pastors, and there's churches that will say, well, I guess that's just God's will. You need to just think. How many know that Jesus could have said whatever he wanted in response to what happened? Here's what Jesus said, and he said it to her, he said it to all those people around it, and he said it to us. Here's what he said: your faith has made you whole. Amen. Now to me, it doesn't take a lot of spiritual intuitiveness to figure out what Jesus is trying to do there. I believe Jesus is trying to get us to understand that there's times that you will try to get the thing solved with this guy and this lady, and you'll go to this person for advice, and you'll go here and you'll go there, and you're trying to figure it out, and none of it works. And it's not the time for you to say, well, I guess that's not God's will. I love this lady because of her tenacity to recognize, I am going to be healed, and that man is going to heal me. And that man is Jesus. That's what we need to get. We need to get a revelation like that lady got a revelation, that Jesus is the healer. And that all we have to do is draw close to God, and he will draw close to us, and we need to stop being double-minded. Well, maybe God will, maybe he won't, maybe he will, maybe he won't. Stop that. You be like that lady. You know what that lady said? She said, when I touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be healed. Amen. That's what she said. Is this making sense to anyone? See, in the midst of adversity, because what we kind of believe is it's kind of a theological understanding of, you know what, well, God, you know what, if the door is not opened, then I guess that's not God.
You ever heard somebody say, well, the door wasn't open, I guess it wasn't God, you know, it wasn't God, because here's how we know that God works. I mean, be sarcastic here. Here's how we know. Here's what we're told to do. We're told to walk by sight, because if we walk by sight, that's going to indicate us what is God. How many know that's ridiculous? How many know you need to read your Bible every day that you would start to become spiritually in tune with what is right and what is not right? You're saying, Pastor Drew, are you saying that God can't open doors? I'm saying that God opens doors sometimes. I'm not saying that God doesn't open doors sometimes. I'm saying you better watch out when you are walking by sight and not by faith. And by you making a decision, oh, I guess I'm not going to go through that door because it's closed. You know, how many know Paul busted through some doors?
Yeah, that's right.
There were times that it's like, how many know we have an enemy on this earth? Amen. Yeah. How many know Satan comes, the Bible says, to steal, kill, and destroy?
Bam.
What do you think? You think you don't have, here, newsflash, we're not in heaven. Amen. Dorothy, we're not in Kansas anymore, and Christians, we're not in heaven yet. We have an enemy. We have to tend. We have to contend for the faith. We have to. There's times, and it's just Satan's just not going to lie down and go, oh, go ahead, take Pico Rivera. You can have it. You know what I mean?
Amen.
He's not going to do that. There's situations in your life that you have to say, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to let this crowd, Peter's like, what did Jesus? What are you talking about? Who touched you? There's all these people around you. You're like, who touched you? Can I tell you what? God is smarter than you, amen?
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus says, no. I'm not talking about this brushing up. I'm not talking about that kind of touching. Listen to me. This will preach, so listen to me. We need to stop being so casual in our Christianity. I'm hearing God saying, no. You start being specific. You start being demanding. If you read the Greek, here's what the Greek says. Someone made a demand on my power. You got a bunch of people going to church, and Anthony, come on up here. Anthony will be my Jesus today. And we got a bunch of people coming to church, and they're just brushing up against Jesus. They're just, I'll come every other Sunday. You know, I'll come if nobody's, you know, if it's convenient for me. You know what I mean? You know what? But I don't, you know, I don't get any fanatical. You know what I mean? I just want to brush up against Jesus. But no. You know what? And notice, all those people that are brushing up about Jesus, you know what? None of them are going, oh my goodness, Jesus, are you healed me? None of them are saying that. Why? Because here's why. Because none of them are getting healed. Look at all the people that brushed up against Jesus who got healed. One. And she wasn't brushing up against Jesus. Hey, Peter, wrong amundo. I'm not talking about somebody brushing up against me. I'm talking about someone purposely getting through the crowd and saying, let me tell you what, that man is going to heal me. And I'm not walking away today without my healing. I'm making a demand on this power. All I have to do is just touch a little bit and I'm going to receive it. And as soon as she touched it, boom! She got it. And Jesus is like, whoa, something happened. What is this? This is, we are making, you can sit down. Good job, Jesus.
Yeah.
We are making a demand on the power of God. And let me just say, that's presumptuous. That's not humble. You know what? You're crazy. That's crazy talk. Let me tell you why it's crazy. Because God said, you know what? Listen, he said, most assuredly I say unto you that anyone
who speaks to that mountain, be removed, cast in the sea, doesn't doubt in his heart the very thing that they said is going to happen to them. See, God is baiting us to say, start asking. Start believing for big things. You know, these people, you know, they really tick me off. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, you know, you can't, you know, you can't. Because they're all like, you know, they're like, well, you can't believe, you know, oh, God, I'm going to the mall. Help me find a good parking space. Oh, can't believe that, you know, can't find a, you know what? And then there's other people who say, oh, God, I'm believing for a miracle for this big thing. Oh, can't believe that. It's all of a sudden, well, you put God in the box. He can't do little things. He can't do little, you know, big things. He can only do, hey, knock it off. I serve a God that can do little things. I serve a God that can do many things. And I serve a God that can do huge things. Look at your Bible. God opens up the seas, the Red Seas, and holds the sea there. You know what? Until these people come over and over again. That's the God that we serve. That's who our God is. What about the man who's blind? He's blind. See, what is keeping you from Jesus? Because let me tell you, when you will get close to Jesus, you're going to see the supernatural happen. Why? He's a supernatural God. Draw close to me and I'll draw close to you. Stop being double-minded. Stop saying, no. It's in the same passage. God says, draw close to me and don't be double-minded. What's this guy do? What's in between him and Jesus? Listen, there's things that are in between you and Jesus, and you, listen to me, you have to be the one who says, get out of my way! I'm coming to Jesus. When I touch his hem, I'm going to be healed. I don't care that nobody else could do it. You know what? Can we start getting on the Jesus train? Amen. Yes, amen. Woo, woo. Amen. I'm leaving. I'm getting on the Jesus train. Jesus is, we need to get off the, this guy can help and this person, this lady says, I'm telling you what, I've been this 12 years. I've wasted all my money. All these people are promising. You know why I believe? I just believe this. I believe that one of our issues, I don't know, somebody can look it up. I don't know how many billions of dollars Americans are in debt, credit card debt, huge amounts. I'm fully convinced that most of that is an unsatisfaction of who God wants you to be. Well, I didn't get a bunch of amens on that one, did I? Amen. Listen, we're sucked by the marketers who think this is gonna complete you. And they suck you in there. And all they want to do is just separate you from your money. And all those things, they don't satisfy you. This lady finally comes up to the revelation that no one is gonna heal me except Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Amen. No one is gonna fix you except Jesus. So turn off the television. You're watching way much too YouTube and all this stuff. Turn it off, amen? All that stuff, it doesn't help you. It doesn't complete you. Amen. So the man who's blind, he's blind. And all these people try to shut him down. No, don't bother. Can I tell you what? We are not bothering Jesus when you come to him with your issues. Amen. And he's got it. And I love his attitude. See, what am I talking about? I'm talking about a tenacity. We live in a world that is like, oh, these Christians are crazy. Hey! I'm going to shout louder! And even in our Christian circles, there's a whole bunch of believers that don't believe. Amen. That's true, isn't it? Bunch of believers. That's a Pentecostal group. And even in the Pentecostal group, there's like, well, we don't want to get out of balance. You know, pray. What? Why are these things in the Bible? Why is the blind man in the Bible? Here's why. One of the reasons is because, A, it really happened. There really was a blind man. Number two, God wants us to see that the impossible is possible. And when they're trying to shout him down, You know what? I love his tenacity. And there are other people, and they're going to try to shut you down. They're your neighbors, your aunts, your uncles. You know what? Just you're not bothering Jesus. Matter of fact, I'd say you're bothering Jesus when you don't bother Jesus. Amen. Amen. And he cries louder. And I love Jesus. Listen to his heart. Jesus comes up to this guy and he says, hey! Notice who he tells what to. He doesn't tell the guy to shut up. He tells everybody who's telling him to shut up to shut up.
Amen.
Sorry. My mom said, don't ever say shut up. Shut up when I was a kid, shut up was a cuss word. He's like, Amen. So whatever. Notice Jesus is like, hey, you guys be quiet. I want him. Jesus got a sense of humor. Because Jesus didn't say, hey, guy, come on over here. I want to talk to you. Jesus says, hey, you know the guy that you were telling to shut up? Go get him and tell him to come to me. How many know God hates religiosity? Go get him, tell him to come to me. The guy's like, Jesus wants to talk to me. Jesus wants to talk to me. And he gets there, and then he's like, okay, what's up? Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Right? One of my favorite things of the whole New Testament is that point where Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Here's why. Because Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father. This is the Father's heart. God is not trying to withhold things from you. He hasn't even withheld his son. Why do we think he's going to withhold healings from us? He won't. He won't withhold anything from us. But this guy's tenacious. Because when they're trying to tell him to shut up, you'll see it. That woman, tenacious. That man, tenacious. The men, here, I got another one. The men who brought their friend to be healed. They go to the house, and when they get to the house, what happened? Nobody, they can't get in. They can't get in. They don't, first of all, understand this. How many of you have ever carried something for a block? How many ever carried? You have no, it could have been a block away. For all you know, it very realistically and probably was, could have been miles that they carried him. That would be very realistic. But however long it was, they carried him all the way there, and they get there, and the place, they don't say, oh, what should we do? Oh, let's go home. I guess it wasn't God's will. Because you know, God opens doors, you know what I mean? And this is surely a door that's shut. Listen to me. You be careful. When you make decisions, I'm going to take that job. Why are you going to take that job? Well, because they're paying me more. You be careful. Where are you going to go? I'm going over here. Why are you going? Because that's, you be careful that you're not making decisions just based on what it looks like. Because you will put yourself, you will put your family in a bad place. God doesn't call us to walk that way. God calls us to be led by the Spirit of God, to be led by the Word of God. It is God's will that God, that's God's will. Here, let me, you know, let me prove you that healing's God's will? Jesus says this. How many know Jesus knows what to pray? Jesus says, pray this way. Pray that my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's no sick people in heaven. It's God's will that we walk in health. And you can argue all you want. You can tell them, no, I'm going to prove it to you because my friends, uncles, neighbors, you know what, cousin has been believing for God and they're still not healed. Listen, I don't know about your uncles, friends, neighbors, cousin. I don't know about all that. Here's what I know. That good theology comes from the Word of God.
Yes.
We think we know what's true. We don't know it's true, except that it's revealed to us from the Word of God.
Yes.
Somebody hearing what I'm saying? So, he says this, here's what I want. I want to be healed, and that man gets healed. She says, I'm going to touch the hem of his garment, and I'm going to be healed. They say, okay, what is the plan? Because let me tell you what's not the plan. What's not the plan is we go home. The plan is that we're all walking home. We're all walking home. You know, we got to figure out how we're going to do this. You know, there was all kinds of adversity for us to be in this. How many know? Here. I mean, if I did that, I don't have time to do this. But I said, okay, let's all get up, and we're all going to go in the South Sanctuary.
Come on.
And some of you got to sit on somebody else's lap. Because we couldn't fit you all in the North Sanctuary. How many know this was the will of God for us? Amen? And so what does that take? I could give you eight, probably more like 80 things that got in our way. Well, how come we're over here? Because I was tenacious to say, I tell you what, here's what we're going to do, and we're going to make it happen, and we're going to figure it out. And enough of this bad theology.
Yeah.
Enough of this theology. We're gonna relent. We're gonna recoil. We're gonna mow backwards. I guess we missed it. You know what? These guys didn't miss it. They got up on the roof and they tore the guy's roof off. One version says they. And you say, yeah, but it's not like our roofs. Well, okay, well, let me take you back in time and you live in that house and you see if you want four guys ripping off your roof. Amen. I know enough to know that the Bible says they had to dig on it. Yeah, it wasn't a matter of just, you know what, straw that said, you know, peeky boo. And they lower him right down. And Jesus doesn't go, oh my goodness, you interrupted my sermon. Who told you you could do this? Tenacity. The guy with his daughter who's almost going to die. And what does he know? Here's what he knows. He knows the same thing that those four men knew. He knew the same thing that the woman knew. He knows the same thing that the man was blind. He knows all I have to do is get close to Jesus. See, I'm fully convinced. Listen to me. I'm fully convinced that we can start walking. Here's what we hear God saying. Draw closer to me. You're not close enough. You're not close enough to me. You're too far from me. You're too involved in the, you know what the Bible says? That anyone who signs up to be in, anybody who's recruited to be in the army doesn't, how many know there's not people in the army, you know, like you know, in wherever they are, Kuwait or wherever they are, they're not like, oh man, where's the 7-Eleven? I want a big gulp today. Well, I said, why are we doing this? Why are we so focused? And I'm not saying because not everybody's called to be a full-time pastor. I just there in the front row, I'm going to pick on them a bit. You know what? This couple right here, you know what? I don't know that they're called to be, you know what, full-time pastors. But here's what I know. They are focused on building the kingdom of God. Yeah. Amen? Yes, sir. We're not all supposed to be full-time pastors, but we all need to be full-time in the army of God, all in disciples of God. Amen?
Amen.
Does this make sense to anyone? It's casualness. Oh, you know what I mean? You know, so it's like, I'll go to church, you know what? Or I'll go to the swap meet. What? Swap meet church. Oh. Well, it's rainy, kind of drizzly today. I'll go to church. Oh, lucky us. God's like, gross. I'm looking for that. I'm looking for all in.
Amen.
And if we will understand the just drawing close to all these dreams that you have, they're found in Jesus Christ. That's the fulfillment of all your stuff, all the stuff that you want. And the world doesn't have anything for us. Are you learning something today? These guys are like, no, we're going to do what it takes. And they lower him down, and Jesus is saying, man, you are crowding my space. He's like, no, 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 no. I'm going to make you whole. And the first thing that's going on, is there some sin in your life? I'm going to forgive you for that sin. How many know, to that guy, that could have been a bigger deal than him walking home.
That's right.
Let me tell you about God. God doesn't just care about one part of your life. All these people, you can't forgive him his sin. He's God. Here, let me give you a newsflash for you. Jesus was God. He can't forgive sin, and he did forgive sin. He says, let me tell you, I'm gonna prove to you that I can forgive sin. I'm going to prove you I'm God. What's it easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk? They're like, And then he tells the guy, you get up and walk. That guy left whole, completely, soul, body, and spirit. Tim, are you about ready? I want to just read to you some things that I wrote. Believing the unbelievable. God is believable. God is believable. Is there anything too hard for God? The Bible says, is my arm too short? God says in Isaiah, God says, do you think I can't hear what you're saying? That it's a rhetorical question. Of course, his arm is not too short. But there is sometimes that we think that. Examples, you brought us here from Israel. You brought us here to kill us. Don't, you know what, the man in the boat, you know what? Don't you care, God? We're going to die. Listen to me. God is hurt when we think that God won't take care of us. Over and over, the Israelites kept on thinking and saying that. And sometimes we can think the same thing. But we have over and over again examples in the Word of God of people just like you who believed God. And many times they did so, and the common thought of man was that this is impossible. They didn't go with the majority. But there is again and again examples of these people. I told you four of them today. All we need to do is just draw close to Jesus Christ. Not allow anyone or anything to get in the way between us and Jesus Christ. Because if they would do this, they would see the supernatural. Listen, that they so desperately needed, all caps, so desperately needed. They found the grace that they so desperately needed. You see, sometimes it is only when we are desperate that we get crazy. But God wants and is willing to be there for us anytime that we call out to him. Notice, we have not because we ask not. And there is no size restriction in what we're asking for in that passage of Scripture. God says, assuredly, I say to anyone who says, notice what he's going to say, to the mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. Are you hearing what God's saying? God is our hiding place. He is the one who will deliver us. He is the one who will set us free. And all these conditions, all these situations that hold you back, all these circumstances, God says, at one point in time, Paul says to these born-again Christians, he says, why are you acting like mere men? We're not mere men. We have the Spirit of God living inside of us. So what are you believing for? Stop thinking God can't do a miracle in your life. God did a miracle for all four of these people. And they're all in the Bible for our benefit. And all four of them, listen to me. All four of them had incredible things to overcome. They overcame it all.
Thank you. I want to just encourage you. Everything begins with expectation. What do you expect from God? Do you expect Him to be the God that you see on the pages of your Bible? If you do, then begin to reach for that. Let Him know that that's you. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord go to and fro, looking for the ones whose heart are fully given to Him. Is that the word? Let me see it real quick in my Bible. I'm going to give you the exact of what He says there, because it's very good for us. Amen. It looks throughout the whole earth to strengthen the hearts, those who are fully committed to Him. There's a lot of things I don't know, but here's what I do know. I know that I am fully committed to God. Have been, will be. It's not negotiable. My only regret, I remember when I came to know the Lord, it was like, why didn't anyone tell me about Him sooner? I wish I had known Him sooner. And not because He would have mopped up a bunch of tragedy in my life, because I didn't have it. But just because He's that good. Why didn't I know Him sooner? I wished I would have known Him sooner. But I know Him now. That's spilt milk, as they say. Amen? The Bible says that God watches over His word to perform it. To do what with it? To perform it. So we need to take God's word and, just like Jesus, make sure that it's His word that's coming out of our mouth. When it's His word that's coming out of our mouth, so in other words, get your envelopes, get your cards, find the word on your situation. You say, well, I don't know what word. How about this one? With God, all things are possible. The Bible says that. So if you got nothing, take that one. I'll tell you even where it's at. And then, you know what? Take that word and have that word in your mouth daily. Because with God, all things are possible. Now we have seen a lot of things, and I wanna just say really quickly, every one of them has begun with believing God. Believing God. From the beginning when He told me, hey, I feel like God's telling me I need to put my resume in at Peak. I said, are you crazy? We can't go there. And He said, I'm just telling you what I hear. I know, Tamara. And I could hear the fear even in His voice. You know what I mean? Just kind of cracking. It's like, doesn't make a lot of sense to me either. He said, but just pray about it and see what God would say. And I was vacuuming the house, and I was having a conversation with the Lord, and I'm like, hey, Lord, you know, we can't, and you know, and I'm telling Him all about it. And He said, Tamara, would I put you somewhere and tie your hands? I said, no, Lord, you wouldn't do that. And He said, okay. And that was it. And so I said to Pastor Drew, you know, I think God's got a plan. It seems crazy to me too. But God said, would I put you somewhere and tie your hands? And I said, so as nuts as this seems, I think it's God. And then we began to walk out just step by step, letting God be God. And then when we got here, you know what? I just want those chairs. They're here because we believed. We would believe that God would give us chairs, and we got chairs. We believed that God would, you know what, give us new carpeting throughout the church, and we got new carpeting. We believed that God would give us some brick for these stupid metal poles all out there, and He gave us 15 pallets of brick. We had brick coming out our ears. And we believed that God would bring us musicians. And we would bring in, we brought in our clavinova from home and we put it on the stage. And he bought those congas and he put them on the stage. And we didn't have no musicians. But we believed that God would bring us musicians. And then we believed that God would bring us cool people. Now, if you don't know what that means, you're probably one of them. I said, how come our friends have all these cool people who love God and who are there building with them? Why don't we have people like that? And Pastor Drew said, they're coming. I said, okay, God, I want some cool people too. Just like my friend, I want some cool people. And we got cool people all over this church. People who are just sold out to God, who are fully committed. As God's eyes went to and fro and found you and sent you right here to be part of what he's doing right here. And I could go on and on with the things that God has done. And here's my point to you. They all began because we believed. God's going to bring us musicians. God's going to bring us chairs. God's going to make you full time. God's going to provide, you know what, leaders in this church. God's going to provide musicians in the church. God's going to provide. God's going to provide. God's going to provide. God's going to provide. What is God going to provide for you? It will begin with you believing for it. Amen? And you have a scripture on it. And when you feel that rise up in you, that it's not going to be, then you say, oh no, God said. I can't tell you the experts who told us that we were crazy to come here. I can't tell you the experts who told me I would never, never see brand new carpeting laid in this place being donated. Not gonna happen, princess. I've been doing this for 25 years. Careful for the experts. They'll take your expectation and try and flush it. They're experts of nothing. You'd better get someone who's an expert of the Word of God, someone who's an expert of who your God is, someone who's an expert on expecting. Because if you don't have that going on, you just like you better be like a ninja warrior blocking off all the experts. Pew, pew. They said, you're never going to get that. And my heart would kind of sink like I was crazy. And then the Lord would say, no, that's not who I am. I said, that's right. That's not who you are, God. Amen? Amen. You got something?
So, but I want to make sure you understand this. You're going to, that expectation is rise up the closer you get to Jesus. The key to every single one of these people was to get close to Jesus. Does that make sense? Sing it with me. Draw me close to you. Never let me go. Lay it all down again. Hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. Cause nothing else can take your place. Feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find the way to bring me back to you.
You're all I want. You're all I ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you who I need.
Tell him you're all I want.
You're all I want. You're all I ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you who I need. Help me know you who I need. Help me know you who I need.
If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. I want you to stand up to your feet. Father, I thank you that you are drawing us near to you. I thank you that as we lift up the name of Jesus, you're drawing others to this church. Others are coming from the north, from the south, from the east and the west. We are not a religious place. We are a relational place where we connect people with the one true and living God. Father, we thank you as you're leading us and drawing us close to Jesus, that we are starting to believe easily for the supernatural. In Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.